Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The wrestling industry has long been about bravado, exaggeration, and perception being reality. But while it's one thing to add an inch or two to your height or bend the truth a little, Hulk Hogan is a different beast entirely. With that in mind, I'm Andrew from What Culture Wrestling, and here's 10 ways Hulk Hogan is the most ridiculous human ever. Number 10, the Montreal Screwjob, as per Hulk Hogan. If Hulk Hogan is to believe, the infamous Montreal Screwjob took place at either WrestleMania 2000 or WrestleMania 17. Bret Hart was told on that night by Vince McMahon that Shawn Michaels was winning the WWF title, the fans in Canada were chanting Brett screwed Brett, Michaels pulled a fast one on Brett by holding him down and pinning him, and despite being the greatest wrestler of all time, Bret Hart was held down by little teeny Shawn and embarrassed. Yes, that skewed Hogan recollection comes from an Australian radio appearance, and also from a conversation with the ever questionable Bubba the Love Sponge. Pretty much all that the Hulkster got correct is that the Montreal Screwjob took place in Canada and it featured Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. Of course, this all played out in the 1997 Survivor Series. Hart was told by McMahon that he'd retain the WWF title in a double DQ finish. No fans chanted Brett screwed Brett, and Shawn Michaels technically won by submission rather than pinfall. Number 9. The Undertaker nearly broke Hulk's neck on a steel chair. If you've only been with the company for 1 year, or in your first pay-per-view main event against the money-drawing biggest star in the industry for the promotion's world title, one of the worst things imaginable is you injure your opponent. For a 26-year-old Undertaker, that was a situation he found himself in at the 1991 Survivor Series, beating Hulk Hogan for the WWF title after dropping him with a tombstone onto a Ric Flair held steel chair. The Undertaker was its world champion just 1 year after his debut for the company. As detailed in a 2020 ESPN interview with Mark Calloway, Hulk Hogan had Undertaker believe he'd hurt the Golden Goose. Hogan was screaming in pain backstage, rolling around on Vince McMahon's office floor, asking someone to call his wife and kids, and being treated by paramedics for severe neck trauma from that tombstone. It was only once the Death Valley native saw the footage back a few days later, he realized that Hulk Hogan was completely full of crap. Number 8. Time travel, brother. If I say I wrestled 400 days a year, it's no exaggeration. My years were actually longer than 365 days. Yep, that's a quote from Hulk Hogan's My Life Outside the Ring book. And yes, it is indeed a huge exaggeration. According to Hogan, due to him working in the United States and also flying out to work in Japan, the time difference between those countries meant Hulk gained hours and days. The Hulkster notes how he wrestled in Madison Square Garden, flew out to work Tokyo's Egg Dome the same day, which gained him 14 hours, and then returned to the US West Coast. For Hulk, he was constantly adding days to his years. Of course, like many Hulk Hogan claims, this is all complete nonsense. Hulk seems to get time zones confused with actual time travel. Sure, if he flew from the US to Japan, his clock may go back 14 hours. However, once Hulk returned to the US, that clock would then go forward 14 hours. Never is time gained, per se. And it's absolutely insane to believe such travel added extra days, 35 of them in fact, to the standard calendar year. Number 7. Metallica's bassist. While Hulk Hogan has made all kinds of ridiculous claims over the years, it's always nice when those involved in such claims move to completely rubbish them. Step forward, Metallica. Hulk Hogan and UK tabloid The Sun are a match made in heaven, and it was in a 2012 interview with this utter rag that Hogan boldly stated how he's big pals with Metallica drummer Lars Ulrich and was asked to play bass with the band by Lars during their early years. As the Hulkster detailed, he nearly joined the group, but things just didn't work out. Shortly after this, Ulrich happened to be a guest on the Howard Stern Show. Never afraid to stir the pot, Stern asked the drummer about Hulk's claims. Lars noted how he has a photographic memory, but doesn't know Hulk Hogan, and was left scratching his head over this. Of course, Hulk then changed his story to how he spent 2 weeks trying to get an audition with Metallica, despite previously claiming these big pals with Lars, and was actually offered the bass player gig. Number 6. He was nearly killed in Puerto Rico. The murder of Bruiser Brody in Puerto Rico's Juan Ramon Lubriel Stadium in July 1988 is one of professional wrestling's most shocking tragedies. In his Joe Rogan Experience appearance, though, Hulk Hogan claims he was nearly killed in that same country. Hell, in that same locker room, just 4 months before Brody's death. As Hogan detailed, he and Macho Man wrestled in Puerto Rico at a sold-out stadium, and when he returned to his locker room, he had a gun pulled on him and was told he'd be killed if he ever returned to the island. Then, 4 months later, Bruiser Brody was killed in that same locker room. Firstly, the one and only time Hulk Hogan wrestled in Puerto Rico was on the 19th of October, 1985, at San Juan's Estadio Hiram Bithon. Far from the sold-out stadium Hulk describes, that show, which had Hulk as WWF champion facing Big John Studd in the middle of the card, drew just 1,200 fans to a venue that could hold up to 18,000. Then there's the time discrepancy here, with the murder of Brody taking place nearly 3 years after Hulk's one and only visit to Puerto Rico, rather than the 4 months at Hogan Club.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Number 5. He was Brock Lesnar's return from UFC opponent. Brock Lesnar officially signed with the UFC in October 2007 and remained with the organization until December 2011. Of course, the Beast Incarnate would shockingly return to WWE 4 months later in the aftermath of WrestleMania 28 to confront John Cena. Lesnar's first year back with the company saw him tangle with Cena and Triple H before moving on to CM Punk at SummerSlam 2013. According to Hulk Hogan though, he was the one tasked with battling Brock once the former UFC heavyweight champion returned to the land of sports entertainment. Speaking during that Joe Rogan Experience appearance, Hulk got Lesnar when he first came back from the UFC, and that Hulk had actually kept an eye on Brock during the Young Powerhouse's time in high school. As for Hulk wrestling Brock post-UFC return in 2012, the last WWE match of the Hulkster's career took place at SummerSlam 2006 against Randy Orton at a time when Lesnar had been out of the company for 2.5 years. While Hulk Hogan vs. Brock Lesnar did indeed take place, their one and only match was on the August 2002 episode of SmackDown, 12 years before Hogan claimed, and 5 years before Lesnar had even signed with USC, let alone return from the UFC. Number 4. Hulk Hogan, MMA fighter. While it's one thing to have claimed to have worked with a post-UFC Brock Lesnar, it's something else entirely from Hulk Hogan to hear him bring up his own MMA credentials. According to the Hulkster in several interviews, he had the opportunity to compete at UFC 1 back in 1993. While he did consider that offer, ultimately Hulk cited excessive violence and slack referees as swaying his decision to take a pass on this. When asked about this on X, UFC co-creator Cam McLaren immediately labeled such talk as rubbish. If this wasn't enough, a 2011 interview saw Hulk claim to have fought Pride Fighting Championship stars during his time in Japan back in 1977. One glaring error there is that Hogan didn't wrestle in Japan until 1980. But the more notable element of this bizarre claim is that Pride didn't even come into existence until 1997. Then there's countless Hulk tales of having shoot matches with legit badasses such as Antonio Inoki, Tatsuya Sumi Fujinami, and Nick Bockwinkel. All shoots, but Hogan obviously won. Number 3. Don't get caught making racist comments. The racist remarks of Hulk Hogan ruined his legacy, tarnished his career, and showed Terry Bollea to be utterly awful. Still, Hogan would of course be brought back into the WWE fold, and part of that process saw him give a backstage speech to address these comments. However, rather than a heartfelt, genuine apology and remorse at what he'd said, the overarching tone of Hulk's address was that cameras are everywhere these days, and so be careful of getting caught saying dumb stuff. Yeah. Immediately after this, New Day and Titus O'Neil were amongst those to call out Hulk Hogan for his fake apology, with Titus even stating how he had zero respect for the handling of what was not an apology. How did Hulk respond to those not accepting of his apology? Well, during an appearance on the After Chat, he said those wrestlers don't understand the bond and the brotherhood of wrestling. Yes, that is a quote. So, the moral of the story from Hulk Hogan's perspective is it's fine to make horrendous racist remarks, just make sure nobody records you saying those vile words. Yeah, absolutely disgusting. Number 2. Elvis was Hulk Hogan's number one fan. As per the Hollywood Hulk Hogan autobiography, the legendary Elvis Presley was a huge Hulkamaniac. According to Hogan, the King of Rock and Roll would regularly watch Hulk compete in Memphis. To have such an icon be part of your fan base, that's quite the accolade and should serve as an indicator of just how popular the Hulkster was at that point in time. Having made his in-ring debut in August 1977, it would take until May 1979 for Hulk, under his Terry Bollea name, to first work in Memphis, that being a DQ win over the Mongolian Stomper for Jerry Jarrett's Continental Wrestling Association. Was Elvis in attendance for Hogan's Memphis debut and for the rest of the big man's run with the CWA throughout the rest of the year? Not quite. In actuality, Elvis Aaron Presley passed away on the 16th of August 1977 at the age of just 42. That was 1 year and 9 months before Hulk Hogan ever wrestled in Memphis, and Elvis's passing happened just 1 week after the very first match of Hulk's career. Number 1. The Wembley Stadium Death. The death of a child is absolutely tragic. So, this particular story is the worst of Hulk Hogan's plentiful tall tales. As Hulk told Muscle and Health magazine in the latest telling of his story, he, Michael Jackson, and Mr. T were at Wembley Stadium doing Make-A-Wish work prior to Hogan wrestling at that venue. There, one child was in a particularly bad way, and Hulk could effectively smell death in the air. To help out this little Hulkster, Hogan had a private area fenced off at ringside so the fan and his family could watch the show. After that private area remained empty, Hulk returned to the back to be told that the child had passed away. Distraught, Hogan and his manager Jimmy Hart stayed up all night and wrote a 12-song album dedicated to the child. Due to Hart's contacts at Select Records, Simon Cowell produced this album, which topped the Billboard charts for 8 weeks, and all proceeds went to the child's family. If this was true, it would be heartbreaking, it would be a touching story for which Hulk Hogan deserves plentiful praise. Again though, this is another story with so many holes in it. Firstly, Hulk Hogan never wrestled at Wembley Stadium. In fact, the only wrestling event to take place at the original Wembley Stadium was SummerSlam 1992, which was an event headlined by Bret Hart versus David Boy Smith, and with Hulk Hogan not even on the card. Secondly, the album Hulk did with the Mouth of the South came out in 1995 when the two were in WCW. It didn't hit number one on any charts, and it only actually charted briefly on the Child Billboard. Thirdly, while he did work with the then WWF in 1993, Simon Cowell has never actually once worked with Hulk Hogan. So that's 10 ways Hulk Hogan is the most ridiculous human ever. I've been Andrew Parr from What Culture Wrestling, and I'll catch you down the road.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.